I know some of you looked at the bulletin this morning and saw my sermon title, and I mentioned it in Sunday school. You said, man, what a strange title, 9,516 pennies. And then you might have turned to the book of Psalm and read the verses. I know some of you do that. You find your place in the Bible and actually read the verses before Adam leads us in reading them. And you read those five or six verses and you said, well, there's no mention of pennies in those verses. So what's the preacher thinking? How does he get 9,516 pennies out of Psalm 139? Of course, those of you that have a good memory, know that there were 9,516 pennies given in the offering at Vacation Bible School. For those of you that don't know, we have a contest in Vacation Bible School around the offering, and we don't do it by, it's the boys against the girls, and we don't do it by amount, we do it by weight. And so we have a little scale, and the ones that bring the most offering that weighs the most wins. And I mentioned a couple of 3 weeks ago, the girls have won for the past two or three years, but the boys in a close battle won this year. They gave the most offering from a weight standpoint. One of the things I've tried in my retirement that I used to just dabble at but never had time before was coin collecting. And so I bought me some albums, you know, that have the different dates. And I saw all those pennies and I said, man, this would be an ideal time to add to my collection. And so we counted the Vacation Bible School offering and I wrote the church a check. And I took all the pennies home. And over the last few weeks since Vacation Bible School, I have held every one of those 9,516 pennies in my fingers. I have looked at it. And I have actually not studied it. I couldn't study that many. But I've actually looked closely at each one to see if I need it to fill a spot in my album. And every time I did that, and it took me hours and hours and hours, but every time I did that, it was like God speaking to me and said, hey, did you see that? Did you notice that? I finished up yesterday morning. Of those 9,516 pennies, I put 113 in my album. The rest of the 9,403 that were left, I rolled up and finally took to the bank yesterday. And, of course, you can imagine they were glad to see me coming. I had this big box of pennies. But this morning, I want to speak on the subject, 9,516 pennies, and I want to share with you what God talked to me about as I was looking at all of those pennies. I made several observations. I observed, first of all, that every one had a date. Every penny that I looked at had a date on it. Some were old, some were young. I found one that was made in 1913. They started making pennies with Abraham Lincoln's picture on them in 1909. It was the 100th anniversary of his birthday. And so this one was in the fourth year of production of the Abraham Lincoln penny. And, you know, this year it turned 96 years old. So that was the oldest one I found. And then I found a lot of them that were made in 2009. Of course, this is the 200th anniversary of his birth, and they're changing the back of the penny. They've had the Lincoln Memorial on it since 1959, but they're changing the back, and they're actually issuing four designs for the back before they make a permanent change next year. They've issued two of those so far, one when the log cabin where he was born, the other one a picture of him as a young lawyer. And so I found lots of the ones dated 2009. So each one of them had a date. I noticed also that each one of them was made to the same specifications. They all had a date. They all had a picture of Abraham Lincoln. They all had a letter indicating, or lack of a letter indicating, where they were made. If there was no letter on it, it means they were made in Philadelphia. If they had a D, it means it made they were made in Denver. If it had an S, it means they were made in San Francisco. Each of them have the word Liberty to the left of the president. Each of them have In God We Trust over the top of his head. Of course, they're making coins now where they put it on the side where you can't hardly see it, but they all have them on the top of his head, In God We Trust. On the back, they have the words of the United States of America. They have our motto, E Pluribus Unum. I can't say it, but it's there. They have a picture of the Lincoln Memorial, and then they have the words 1 cent. And if you look at them, they all are made to those specs. Then I know something else. There's no two of them that were alike. They may have started out precisely the same when they were minted. I mean, they could have been made in the same mint in the same year, had the same specs. But as I looked at them, I did not find two of them that were exactly the same. And I realized that as I looked at those pennies, each one of them has a different life experience. Each one of them have passed through different hands. As I looked at some of the old ones I found, I thought, I wonder if my grandfather ever touched this penny. Or I wonder if this penny was ever out in California or down in Florida or someplace. You see, they all took a different path to get to our vacation Bible school this year. And so no two of them were alike. The other thing that I'd tell you that I noticed is that they were all dirty. I guess I never realized before how dirty money is. Because as I was looking at these pennies, many times I just had to get up and wash my hands because they were just filthy. I mean, there were some shinier, if that's a word, some shinier than others, and there was some that were a lot dirtier than others. But even the ones that looked brand new, I mean, I found one that was made in 1959 that was just as shiny as one made in 2009. Even those ones that looked brand new, even those ones that looked the shiniest, and sometimes I just stack a pile of them on my desk and I just pick out all the shiny ones because, you know, those are the ones you want to put in your album. And when you get done with those shiny ones, I looked at my fingers and they were dirty. There were others that were in really rough shape. I mean, they had dents in them. They were scratched. They had foreign substance on them. I didn't even want to know what the foreign substance was because I was touching it. I mean, they were so dirty and so marred that they didn't even look like a penny. And so every single one of them were dirty. And then I thought about this. Each one of those 9,516 pennies had a purpose. They were all legal tender of the United States of America. They could all be used to buy things. Now, I know you can't get much for just a penny, but if you put a lot of them together, you can basically buy just about anything you want. And here's what I thought about. It didn't matter how old the penny was. You could still take it to a store and spend it. And it didn't matter how dirty it was. I mean, you don't go into a store and give the clerk a penny and the clerk looks at it and says, well, that penny's too dirty to spend. No, he or she just takes it and puts it in the cash register. So it doesn't matter how old they were. It doesn't matter how dirty they were. Each one of them still has a purpose for which it was designed. And so as I looked at each one of those 9,516 pennies, I observed those things about them. Here's what God talked to me about. He seemed to be saying, he said, hey, those pennies are just like people. And just like you held each one of them in your hand and you looked at each one of them, so I hold each person in my hand every moment of every day. And as I do that, as he spoke to me, he says, I think about the same things that you think about. You see, each one of us have a date. Each one of us have a place of birth. Most of us know when it was. Junior knows that he's 74 years old today. Barb knows she's a little bit younger than that. And most of us know where we were born. I had two weddings yesterday, and the first wedding on the license it asked for the place of the bride and groom's parents' place where they were born, and on the bride's part of the license for said place of father's birth, and they had the word unknown on that line. She didn't know where her dad was born. And so there are some people that don't know exactly where they were born. There may be some people that don't know exactly how old they are. I mean, you may choose to forget sometimes how old you are. But every single one of us, just like every one of those pennies, had a date. And they had a place where they were minted. And here's what God spoke to me. He said, I not only know the day of your birth, I not only know where you were born, but I know when you're going to be taken out of circulation. You see, I didn't know that. At some point, they take those pennies, and I don't know what they do to them, but they take them out of circulation. We don't know when our out-of-circulation date is, but God knows. Brother Ryan was in a car accident early Friday morning on his way to work. They were repaving the road up here on Vienna Road, and there was a car stopped in front of him, and then a pickup behind him, and then this van who was driven by somebody who was under the influence of alcohol, must have been going 80, 90 miles an hour, didn't even apply any of the brakes, just ran into the back of that pickup and pushed that pickup into the back of Ryan's, he was in a big pickup too, and pushed that pickup back into the back of Ryan's pickup, and he was jerked around a little bit, his neck sore, but the driver of that van was killed. Ryan went to see if he could help him, and he was already dead. And Ryan was telling me about it yesterday at the wedding, and said, you know, and these are my words, but this are his thoughts. He says, it makes you think about how fragile life is. He says, I didn't see it coming. I didn't hear it coming. First thing I heard was the bang. And that's how death comes sometimes. I mean, I know we've all known people that are sick and die after that sickness, but sometimes death comes to us suddenly. We do not see it coming. We do not hear it coming. It just comes. But I want to tell you this morning, there is a God in heaven that not only knows the date that you were born, not only knows the place that you were born, but knows the date that you're going to be taken out of circulation. He knows the date that your life is going to end. None of us know that. I didn't know that about any of those 9,516 pennies that I looked at. But there is a God in heaven that knows the date of our death. So he knows each one of us. And I'll just tell you, this morning, just like in my collection of pennies, there are some people here that are old. There are some people here that are young. You can go back to the nursery and you can find all the young ones. Most of the old ones are in here, no offense. All right. Second thing, God came to speak to me, just like about those pennies. Each one was made to the same spec. Each of us are made to precise specs as well. Each of us was designed by God. He chose the color of our eyes. He chose the color of our hair. I mentioned this in Sunday school. I got in my notes. He chose whether we have hair or not. Although, Mark, sometimes I think we do stuff that might affect that. But he chose our eye color. He chose our hair color. He decided what our noses were going to look like. He decided how far our ears were going to stick out. He decided what kind of lips we were going to have. He determines how tall we were going to be. He determines what our build was going to be. In Psalm 139, verse 14, we read it. The Bible says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I would remind each one of you here this morning, you are not here by accident. You were planned and designed by God. You are a designer's model, because this is true also, just like it was true of the pennies. There are no two of us alike. I praise God for that. There are no two of us alike. I know there are twins. When Evan and Ryan first came here, I had a tough time telling them apart. They look so much alike. But after I've gotten to know them, they're as different as daylight and dark. I mean, they're two different personalities. And if you look close enough at them, they look different. And so I can tell them apart now. But there are no two of us alike. Each one of us has different life experiences. Each one of us have traveled a different path to get to this exact moment in our life. No two of those are the same. I mean, yesterday in the first wedding, there was a bunch of brothers and sisters here. They all grew up in a certain spot, and they all lived together in that certain spot, and they all moved away, and they all came back. They had a lot of things in common, but no two of them were alike. They were all different. And every single person in this room this morning is different, because your life experiences have brought you to this place on different paths. And there's no two of us that have taken the same path. But just like all those pennies, the things that I noticed about those pennies, the other thing that God spoke to me about people, about us, is that we're all dirty. Some of us are shinier than others. Some of us are dirtier than others. Some of us look like we're brand new. Some of us are in pretty rough shape. I'm not going to look at anybody when I say that, Bill. But some of us are in rough shape. We've been dented. We've been scratched. We've been well used. And as God looks at us, that's what he says in the Bible when it says, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, even though we look shiny this morning, even though we look brand new this morning, in God's sight, we are all dirty, just like every single one of those pennies were. The other thing that I would tell you that he spoke to me about, he reminded me that each of us, each one of us, has a purpose. Every single person has a purpose. I held each of those pennies in my hand. I noticed the words on the top of it. It said, "In God we trust." I read a story years and years ago about a man that says every time he saw a penny, he picked it up. And he turned it over and he looked at the front and he read those words, "In God we trust." And he was reminded that there was a God to trust. And he said, "I was always reminded." He said, "A lot of people don't pick up pennies because they think they're worthless." He said, "Whenever I see one, I pick it up and remind myself that there is a God in which we can trust." And I think God looks at us and said, "I wish you had that stamped on your forehead. I wish you had that phrase stamped on your forehead. In God we trust." And I think he says, "I wish it was there because it was true. I wish you trusted in me." You see, the first step in every person's life, the first step in God's will for your life, is that you trust Jesus to pay for your sins. The Bible says because we are sinners, and we're all sinners, that we owe a penalty for that. We owe a price, and that price is to be separated from God. And that's what we all owe. But even when we were yet sinners, the Bible says that God loved us, and he sent Jesus, his son, to pay the price that we owe. And we read in the Bible when he was nailed to the cross, when he was hung on the cross, that God took all of our sins, every single one of them, from every single person that ever walk the face of this earth, that was ever on this earth. He took the sins of every single one of us and he put them on his son. And when Jesus was on the cross, he paid the price for our sin. He suffered what we owe. And so I wish that every single one of us had stamped across our forehead, "In God we trust," and I wish it was true. I wish for each person here that you trusted God and the price that Jesus made on Calvary to pay the penalty for your sin. So first, he has a will for each of our life. He has a plan. We have a purpose. And the first step in that purpose is for us to trust him. The second step in that purpose for each of our lives is that we obey him, that we do what he made us to do. He designed you and he made you the way you are, and he's used all your life experiences up to this point to mold you to what you are today so that you can do the thing that he's made and molded you to do. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And here's the truth. Every time I think about it, I was thinking about it yesterday afternoon when I was running the vacuum cleaner in here. I was saying, every time I think about this truth, it gets to me. It moves me. Every time I think about, just like those pennies, that it doesn't matter how old we are, it doesn't matter how dirty we are, God loves us enough to send Jesus to die for us, and he has a plan for our life and wants to use us. You listen to me, it doesn't matter how old you are this morning. The fact that you're still here, I know a lot of older folks, they think, well, God's done with me. I can't do anything else for him. No, listen to me. If you're still here, he still has a plan and purpose for your life. And we've been talking about in Sunday school the last 2 weeks, find out what it is and get busy doing it. And so it doesn't matter how old you are, and it doesn't matter how dirty we are. I found one penny. It was, well, you couldn't even recognize it was a penny. It was black. It had some kind of goo on the top of it. I mean, the only way I could tell it was a penny, it was as round and it had about the same thickness as a penny. And I kept that one out. And I kept looking at that one. And as I thought about these things that God spoke to me about, I said, I'm like that penny. I'm like that penny. I thought about that verse in 2 Timothy where Paul said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I held that penny up 6 or 7 times. And I said to myself, that's me. I'm dirty. I'm dented. I'm scratched. I'm black with sin. But God loved me so much. Brother Larry, would you go with Brother Bob just to make sure he's okay? He was holding his chest a minute ago, just to make sure he's okay. But I'm like that penny. I'm like that penny. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I want to tell you something. I don't ever want to forget how black my sin was and how much God loved me when he sent Jesus to die in my place. Don't ever want to forget it. Don't ever want to get over it. I've got that penny. I'm going to keep it, and I'm going to look at it every now and then to remind myself that there's a God in heaven who says it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how marred you are, it doesn't matter how dirty you are, I love you, I want you to trust me, I want you to trust Jesus, and I've got a plan for your life. I want to use you. I've got something for you to do. Friday night at the wedding rehearsal, Tanya came up to me and said, hey, last time we were here and you were preaching and you talked about people that wanted to be saved, her daughter Jessie, she said she wanted to raise her hand, but she was too scared. I said, I know I affect people that way. They're scared of me. But she says she wants to talk to you this time while we're here. And so I took Tanya and we got Jesse and we sat right back there on the back row on that side. And I talked to Jesse about things I've talked to you about this morning, that we're all sinners, that there's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is to be separated from God, but that he loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die in our place. And if we trust him and ask him, he'd save us from that penalty that we owe. And I said, Jesse, do you see any reason why you shouldn't do that? You want to ask Jesus to be your Savior? And she said, yes, I do. And so she bowed her head back there, and I helped her pray, and she asked Jesus to be her Savior. And this morning, she's going to take that first step of obedience and get baptized. She's going to obey God, because that's what we need to do once we get saved, is to follow him, follow his example in baptism. Now let me ask you this morning as I close, will you? Well, she's 12 years old. She asked Jesus to be her Savior. She's going to be obedient this morning and get baptized. Will you? If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you're just as dirty as I am. I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm just saying in God's sight, we are filthy sinners. But Jesus died for us. This morning, if you'll trust him, he'll save you. He'll save you. And again, doesn't matter how old we are, doesn't matter how marred we are, he wants to use us. He's got a plan for our life. Would you just be obedient? Would you just be obedient? This morning, for our invitation song, we're going to sing a different number. We usually sing 390, "All to Jesus I Surrender." But this morning, we're going to sing 418, "Trust and Obey." For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. If you're here this morning, you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you need to come. I'll do the same thing, or somebody will do the same thing for you that I did for Jesse Friday night. We'll take the Bible and we'll show you from the Bible what to do to ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you're here this morning, you've been saved, and you haven't been obedient, why don't you just decide this morning, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to do what God says. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that's in it. Thank you for the love that you have for us. We don't deserve it, but you loved us anyway. And so I pray this morning, if there's some, those that are here that don't know Jesus as their Savior, would come this morning, trust him, ask him to be their Savior. And then, Father, for the Christians that are here, help us just decide this morning that we're going to be obedient, that we're going to do what you tell us to do. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.